Our scripture today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in the 11th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in the 11th verse. The message is entitled Compelling Grace. Starting in verse 11, since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty and all-knowing Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired, inerrant word, Lord. We know it is powerful and effective, and that it accomplishes all for which you purpose it. That it is sufficient to do and to explain all things related to salvation. Lord, may the Holy Spirit prepare our hearts and minds to receive a message from you. Let me not get in your way, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. When Dwight L. Moody was ministering in his large Sunday school and church in Chicago, people often called him Crazy Moody. In the eyes of the unsaved world, Moody was crazy to have given up a successful business career to become a Sunday school teacher and evangelist. But time has proved that his decision to be the wise one. Today, we don't know the names of the people that laughed at him, but we do know and honor the name of D.L. Moody. I ask you today, are you willing to be called a crazy Christian? Are you so moved by Jesus Christ's love for you, that what you do, what you say, and what you believe makes non-believers think you are crazy? Maybe the concept of becoming a new creation in Christ seems crazy because too few Christians live any differently than the world. As ambassadors of Christ, we represent the kingdom of God to other people. Our message is to proclaim the impossible. Reconciliation with a perfectly holy and righteous God that is possible because of Jesus' crucifixion for our sin. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Recently, I watched a video called Redeemed by Grace. And four different people on this video gave their testimonies. And today I'm going to share with you the testimony of Tim Wessel. I believe you will see today's scripture illustrated throughout his testimony. At 10 years old, his family moved into a trailer park, and all his friends and neighbors used drugs and alcohol. Tim thought it was wrong, but began to do the same thing by the time he was 12 years old. He was helping a disabled police officer who lived in the trailer park, but stole money from him so that he could buy drugs and alcohol, and stole also pain medication. His mother yelled and screamed and threw him around the house, around the trailer. And Tim wondered why none of the neighbors came to help when it was obvious that people could hear. When his mom had been a child, she was abused and neglected, so she was placed by authorities in another home. There she was raped, and Tim was conceived. Because she was pregnant, she was put out on the streets. She treated Tim the only way she knew, badly, taking out her anger on him. As early as he can remember, she told him that he was the product of a rape. She said that he was ugly and stupid, and she was physically cruel. She wrestled with her own demons, crying and screaming at night. When Tim had been a year old, his mother married, and that stepfather would eventually adopt him. They had a child together, and that child was his mom's everything, in stark contrast to the way she felt about Tim. She made it clear that Tim's brother was her child and he was not. She would say to him, "You make me sick. I cannot stand to look at you. Why don't you run away? Why don't you kill yourself?" He felt his mother's misery was his fault. His parents divorced and Tim felt terrible. He would get the shakes because of his drinking, and he would drink in the morning before school to get rid of the shakes, but try not to drink so much that anyone would notice. Eventually, he was permanently expelled from school. At an early age, he felt no hope that his life was over. He asked himself, "What is the point?" He started getting high on drugs and alcohol all the time. And he needed to start breaking into homes to get money to support his habits. He met a girl who he loved and felt loved for the first time. She came from a home where her mother killed herself in the home and the father was a drug addict. The father was working a factory job someplace else and sending money home so this girl could take care of the other children. Tim moved in with them and they played house. He was working a midnight shift now, and though they were both messed up, she seemed to love him anyway. One night he got off early, came home to discover her in bed with someone else. Tim just left and went off and drank all day. That night he went back to the house. He kicked the door in and was yelling and screaming. Tim attacked her and her friend. The police came, and he was violent with them too. And after he put his hands on someone's throat, the police beat him badly. After a really ugly night, Tim went home to his mother and her second husband. Tim flipped over the fridge, threw TV sets, broke windows, going completely berserk. Looking back, he feels it was a cry for help. "Can't anyone see how broken I am?" He was afraid that his mother was going to have him committed to a mental hospital, or otherwise he would end up in jail. He had nowhere to go. He decided he was going to end his life. And after making this decision, a peace came over him. He thought, I won't hurt anymore, and I won't be able to hurt anyone else. What a sense of relief he felt. Now, Tim had guns and ammunition, but his mother had taken the ammunition away. And he was getting ready to leave the house to get more ammunition when he opened the front door and he saw a man approaching up the sidewalk. He was a pastor going door to door to build his church and his youth group. Tim wondered, was this God? Maybe, just maybe, it was God saying, I'm here. I know what you're going through. I do care, and you are not alone. So he invited him in. Maybe he had something to say. But Tim still had a plan in reserve. The pastor opened up his Bible to explain the love of God. Tim could be forgiven of all the bad things that he had done. They prayed together and spent the whole day together. He repented and embraced that promised love. And Tim started going to the pastor's church. A couple at the church had a horse farm, and they gave Tim a job cleaning out the stables. He had a lot of time to think things through. And shoveling and moving manure in a wheelbarrow, Tim came to the realization that there were some things in his life that he needed to deal with. That night, he went home and learned a friend was being questioned for crimes that Tim had committed. So he went to the state police and he turned himself in. Though he was afraid, he realized that he had to pay the consequences of his wrongdoing. Tim was expecting to do prison time, and the prosecutor was recommending 12 years. It seemed inevitable. The court case was going badly when the judge asked him to speak. And Tim said, I turned myself in because I knew I had done wrong. I trust you to judge me fairly and that I will get what I deserve. I do want to say that I am a new creation. I have given my life to Christ. He continued, God loves me and has forgiven me. And if you leave me on the streets, I promise to tell everyone what he has done for me. And if you put me behind bars, I'm going to tell them that their lives can be different too. The judge rubbed his chin and said, no, I don't think you deserve to be in prison. He gave Tim 5 years probation and convicted him of one felony. Tim went back home and started going to probation once a month. He decided to go back to school and get his GED. And then he got his associate's degree with a 3.9 GPA. He continued his education at university and got an accounting degree. But while finishing the degree program, he learned that you cannot become a CPA, a certified public accountant, with a misdemeanor charge on your record. Tim had been doing invisible fence sales. He was in this elderly woman's home, and he ends up sharing his testimony with her. And she invites him back to dinner that night. Now, her husband was not very happy to have a salesman at dinner. But after dinner, Tim was sharing his testimony. And by the time he was finished, the man had tears running down his face. Well, it turns out that this man was a judge, and he offered to get Tim's record expunged. The judge had a Christian friend who was a lawyer. The friend, for a bargain basement price, did all the paperwork, and Tim's whole record was delivered to him in large envelopes. His record had been wiped clean. He broke down and gave thanks to God. Soon, Tim had a job at an accounting firm. And although he felt like an outsider, he worked his way up to a lower management position. And at a staff meeting, men were sharing how they were going to build their business with parties and taking clients to strip clubs. When Tim's turn came, his plan was to build his business by taking Christian friends to breakfasts and lunches. And some of his co-workers laughed and mocked him. Soon, his phone started ringing. Then referrals started coming in. And at the end of the year, Tim was being recognized for having increased the most new business. And the senior pastor at the church Tim was attending came to him and said he had a position he wanted Tim to fill at the church. Tim wanted to take it, but it was a considerable step back in pay and certainly future pay. It had to be a family decision. A friend of Tim's talked to him about the decision. This friend was not a Christian, didn't go to church, and didn't believe in dreams, but he had the same dream twice. And in that dream, he was sitting in a church, and Tim was the pastor. Then another friend called Tim. He had just gotten back from a weekend men's conference and had received a strong message about Tim. He told him, if you get a call to ministry, take it. Tim became the youth and family pastor at his church. On his first day, he gets a call from an addict that heard that Tim had battled drugs. Tim leads him to Christ over the phone, and Tim became involved with Celebrate Recovery, a faith-based program for those coping with all types of issues. He also had a whole group of high school students that he strongly identified with because of his experiences. And then he added prison ministry to his kingdom work. His wife and family are a great joy to him. Tim forgave his mother, and they've been reconciled. And she, too, has given her life to the Lord. Tim says she is an amazing grandmother. Now, this Redeemed by Grace video was put out several years ago, and it's been shown around the world. A Korean pastor translated it into Korean and has been sharing it with people that need hope. A woman from New Zealand contacted Tim through Facebook. She had conceived a child through rape, and because of a video and their Facebook interaction, she decided to keep the child. After sharing three other people's testimony on this video, Tim comes back on at the end. He shared what an amazing day it was when he had the privilege of baptizing his mother. And they had a video clip of that as she's coming up out of the water in the baptistry. She's hugging his neck. Something else happened that he could have never dreamed of. Tim was introduced to his biological father, the man who had raped his mother, and his father's family. His father was in a hospital bed with a brain hemorrage, facing the end of his life. His father had many regrets and pain, and Tim had mixed emotions as he shared his story with his father. As he sat beside him, he encouraged his father to take God's hand as he faced the end of his life. As Tim walked down the hospital hallway, his father's wife approached him and asked him if he would do the funeral service. And a few days later, they took his father off life support and he died. Tim called it an amazing privilege to stand beside someone he once hated and blamed and share that day as a son. He could not have imagined that God would give him such an amazing moment. Later, Tim's mother joined him at a function at his church, and the speaker started with, on March 24th, 1968, the bright church of the Nazarene was born. And Tim and his mother turned to each other, and both of them started sobbing, for that was also Tim's birthday. God had a plan and a purpose for Tim and his mother, and he keeps on using them in miraculous ways. Tim says, when I tell my story, I am really telling the story of a God that loves us and sent his son to redeem us. Throughout Tim's testimony, his voice often cracked as his emotions brought him close to tears. Tim's love for God was too evident to miss. Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. suddenly return and nevermore thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. The Wesleys, Charles and John Wesley, built their theology and spirituality on the foundation of grace. In his sermon on working out our salvation, John talks about the two grand heads of doctrine. The first is grace as it pertains to the work of God for us in Jesus. And the second is grace as it pertains to the Spirit of God in us, as that grace works through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. John and Charles draw an intimate connection between this grace and the loving God known to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For the Wesleys, grace is a relational term with which to talk about love. A word that embraces the full image of God, creation, and humankind. This expansive understanding of love and grace links theology and practice, our thoughts about God, and our actions. God's gracious love holds everything together and gives meaning and purpose to all created things. In his well-known hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, which I've quoted twice in this message, Charles speaks of God as pure, unbounded love. The goal of life is to be filled with this love. The Wesleys understood the Christian life, therefore, as a pilgrimage of grace upon grace. The practice of Christianity begins in grace, grows in grace, and finds its ultimate completion in God's grace. Grace is God's unmerited love, restoring our relationship to God and renewing God's own image in our lives. Through grace, God leads us into a dance of joy, justice, and jubilee, in which we seek to radiate God's love, participate in God's reign, and seek the restoration of all things in our three-in-one God. Christian discipleship is, first and foremost, a grace-filled response to the free gift of God's all-sufficient grace. My brothers and sisters, God's grace is the active agent of the Lord's love. Just imagine the ripple effect of the amazing grace shown to Pastor Tim Wessel. Our God breaks into our broken world and makes all things new. Today, I call on you to be crazy Christians. Take your duty as an ambassador seriously. In response to Jesus' love, forgive someone. Make the first move. Because you have been reconciled to God, be a conduit of God's grace to others. Make the Lord's love known. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Glorious God, our loving Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit give us a discernment, a comprehension of God's love. We ask that we be filled to overflowing so that in our daily walk, our love for you would be obvious as we pour out ourselves on behalf of others. Lord, we ask that you use us. for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of our Savior. It's in his name that I pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.